It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles and open up to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 13. The book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 13. As you turn your Bibles there. I'm sitting in the back pew this morning because that's what all Baptists like to do, sit in the very back. I'm sitting in the back pew this morning as Cindy's giving the Sunday school lesson. She's naming off all these women, all these mothers in the Bible. And today being Mother's Day, I'm back there and enjoying what she's talking about and teaching. But I'm going, Lord, don't let her name the mother I'm talking about. You know, she's going to step on my toes, Lord. And then she goes through and she keeps going and she hasn't got there yet. And then finally I'm like, all right, maybe I'm safe, Lord, maybe I'm safe. And then she talked about Mary, Jesus' mother, and how Jesus hung on the cross and he looked down at John, the disciple he loved, and he says, John, take care of Mary. Take care of my mama. And I went, ooh, that's nice there. That's how much God loves us. Here's Jesus, God in the flesh, hanging on the cross, and he's dying for the sin of the world. At the same time, he's thinking about his mama. That's love. Wow. Romans chapter 16. The entire chapter of 16, Paul is talking to the church in Rome. And man, he goes down a list of people that he just wants them to know how much he appreciates them. He's telling Priscilla and Aquila, thank you. He's going down a laundry list of his friends that have helped him in the ministry. Paul knows his days are numbered, and he just wants to say thank you. And he gets down to at verse 13, and he says something about a woman. And I want to share that with you this morning. Romans chapter 16, verse 13, the Word of God says this. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that we've set aside to say thank you to Mom. But Lord God, just like celebrating the resurrection, if we've waited an entire year to tell our mothers thank you, we've made a mistake. Father God, may we appreciate our mothers daily. For those of us that have mothers who's gone on to be home with you, Jesus, thank you for giving us them, for the time we had them, what a privilege it was for them to be our mothers. For those of us here that still have mothers in our lives today, if your mother's not sitting next to you, get on the phone, pick the phone up, call her, tell her you love her if you haven't already done so. Reminder of how much you appreciate her. If you're listening today and you didn't have such a great mother, maybe your mother was absent. Can I remind you that even though your mother was absent, she's still your mother. You should call her. You should reach out to her and tell her you love her. You should forgive her. You should move on from the past that's holding you back. You should also realize that God the Father is better than any mother and better than any father could ever be. You see, moms and dads, we make mistakes. We sometimes base our love on conditions, but the Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have unconditional love. So Father God, we thank you for this time to come together and talk about a woman whose name isn't even mentioned here in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. She just mentioned as the mother of Rufus. So Father God, as we read your word, discuss your word, may you open up our ears to hear the word. May you open up our hearts to receive the word. And may we leave here today with a deeper appreciation of just what a mother does. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Title of today's message, There's No Life Without Mom. There's no life without mom. Now, I don't mean when your mother passed away that your life is over. What I mean is without your mother have given birth to you, there's no life without mom. You should kiss your mama if she's sitting next to you. If your mama's in front of you, you should just snatch her up and grab a big old hug and tell her, thank you for bringing me into this world. There's no one that will ever love you like your mother. Now, we know not all mothers are perfect. We know that there's a lot of young people growing up in this day and time that their mother is absent, that their mother's not around. But this particular mother we're talking about today, she was an active mother. She was a mother who was present. The Bible just simply says she's the mother of Rufus. Now, if you read your Bible, you could understand that it is quite possible that this Rufus is the son of Simon from Cyrene. And if you don't know who Simon from Cyrene is, Simon from Cyrene is the man that came along as Jesus was carrying the cross to Calvary and picked up the cross and helped Jesus carry it to Calvary. You could also discern that in Acts chapter 6 verse 9 that there were a large amount of Cyrenian Jews living there in that area. And if you don't know where Cyrenia is, it's in Tripoli. It's in North Africa. So one could discern that it's very possible that Rufus was a black man. It's very possible that Rufus's mother was a black woman. It's very possible to also discern that this woman really didn't want any credit for what she was doing. I'm not saying she was humble. I'm just saying Paul didn't mention her name. And I wonder why. Her name is never mentioned here in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Just her position's mentioned. She's the mother of Rufus. And then Paul goes on to say, who has been a mother to me too. You know, on the surface, there seems to be nothing extraordinary about Rufus's mom other than that she was a mother. Can I say something this morning? All mothers are extraordinary. First, they made the greatest choice ever to allow that child to be born. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm never, ever, ever going to pass judgment on anyone who chooses abortion. But I will say this. Every child, God has a plan for. Every child is precious in God's eyes. And so for every mother that chooses life over death, God blesses her. Now, does that mean she's going to be a perfect mother? No. Does that mean she's going to be a mother who's always there? No, a lot of mothers these days are becoming addicted to pills and drugs and alcohol. A lot of fathers these days aren't even in the home, which turns right around to the root of the issue why women have abortions, because of absentee dads. But this woman, Rufus's mother, she was a homemaker, serving Jesus in daily tasks of motherhood. Paul says in this verse, greet Rufus and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. I read a quote just the other day from Charles Spurgeon. I love reading Charles Spurgeon's writings. Charles Spurgeon has been long gone with the Lord for quite some time now. But Charles Spurgeon wrote about his mother this, O mother, mother, if you had not been the woman you were, I would not be the man I am today. Paul experienced the love of a mother through his brother in Christ, Rufus. When doors were closed on Paul, Rufus's mother opened the door. He said, after all, she was like a mother to me too. I can't say that this happened for sure, but I can only imagine when there was no place for Paul to stay, he stayed at Rufus's mama's house. I can only imagine that when there was no dinner to be had at anybody else's house, he could go to Rufus's mama's house and get dinner. I can only imagine that it'd be possible that if Paul tore his robe, that possibly Rufus's mama mended his robe. I can also imagine that maybe if Paul got tired, he'd go to Rufus's mama's house and lay his head down, get a rest. I could also imagine that if Paul got injured, maybe Rufus's mama was there to mend a wound. Possibly when Paul was a prisoner in Rome, Rufus's mama could have sent him a letter. We don't know. But we know Paul thought so much about her that he mentioned, tell Rufus's mama. I said, hey. That simple mother was like a mother to one of the greatest evangelist ever. And yet her name's not mentioned. God knows who she is. You see, when you moms do tasks, when you moms do chores, you think that nobody sees what you do. And that is a lie. Even when your husband doesn't say thank you, he sees what you do. Even when your kids don't say thank you, they see what you do. And then when your kids and your husband never really recognize it, or they wait till this one time of the year to show up with some flowers and say thank you, God Himself knows how precious your job is, how much He loves the work you do for him, because if it were not for my mama, I wouldn't be here today. First, she made the decision to not abort me. She made a prior decision to abort my brother or sister. My mother got forgiveness for that, by the way. But many years my mother thought about that child, what that child could have been, what that child could have done. Many years my mother mourned the choice she made to abort my older brother or sister. So when I was born, I reaped the love of a brother and sister that I never knew, because my mother wasn't able to pour that love out on them. So she poured it out on me. My mom was the best cook. Now, ladies, you can cook. I love this church. But my mother could cook the best cube steak ever. My mother could make the best banana pudding on the block. Now, you guys make banana pudding really well. Miss Ophelia, I love your banana pudding. But you just don't touch my mama's pudding. It was good. My mother also made no banana pudding for Jennifer, which is kind of weird, but that's what she did. She loved her too. My mother was not only the best cook, she was the best protector. My mother never, ever laid a hand on me. Because of the life my mother grew up in, that's all that I ever got handed to her was somebody's hand. She never laid a hand on me. She left the discipline up to my dad. But I won't talk about him today. I'm talking about my mama. She was the best motivator. There's nothing like hearing your mama yell your name across about a 100-acre pecan orchard telling you better get to the house. I was motivated at the sound of my mother's voice. I was motivated when I was in band and I didn't think I was ever going to make first chair. If you don't know what that is, if you're not a band geek, first chair is where you want to be when you're playing tuba. You want to be in first chair. Second chair is for the first place loser. You want to be first place, amen. My mom would encourage me, son, if you want to get better at playing the tuba, you need to practice. She motivated me to practice. By the way, once I got first chair, because of my mama, I never lost it. She was the best comedian. Man, my mama was funny. She could make anybody laugh. She was hilarious. She'd make that noise. Jennifer just did it. Sounded like this. Let's see if I can impersonate my mother this morning. Mm-mm. My mother loves saying, mm-mm, or shut your mouth, boy. She was a great comedian. She knew how to interject laughter into a sad room. Even when my mother was sad, she knew how to make me laugh. She was the best forgiver. Wow. I made a lot of mistakes when I was a teenager. But my mother never held that against me. She always forgave me. She forgave me when I ran clear across the world to Australia because I was scared to tie the knot with Jennifer. I ran away. And what did my mama do? She sacrificed and paid for a plane ticket to get my backside back home. She motivated me, if you will. She protected me. She made me laugh. She forgave me when I made mistakes. My mother was the best Meemaw to kindle. I'm glad I chose that name for her, Meemaw. Sounds kind of country, and so do I. She was the best mother-in-law to Jennifer. Why? Because that was your only mother-in-law, Jennifer, so she had to be the best. My mother would tell her she was the best all the time. My mother loved to toot her own horn, so to speak. She loved to brag, but she bragged a lot about Jennifer. My mother was the best wife to my father, Kenneth. Oh, how my mother stuck around him when she shouldn't have. And my dad will tell you to this day, if he could come in this church And tell you, he'd tell you what an amazing woman Deborah was. And now, my mother rests with the best Savior the world has ever had. His name's Jesus. So who is my mom now? Cindy mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. In John 19, we read the story of Jesus telling John to look after his mother. Ladies, you're my mother. Even though my mother's gone, you're my mom now. You've fed me. You've loved me. You've prayed for me. Just last night, I asked somebody to pray for me. And it was one of my church moms. You ladies are so important to God. So important that when Jesus was on the cross, when Jesus was hanging there, about to pour out everything, he thought about his mama. He looked at John and said, John, this is your mother. And then he pointed at Mary and said, woman, this is your son. And I'd be willing to bet everything I got that John took care of Mary until the day she went home with the Lord. That John took care of every one of her needs. So John inherited a mother too. Now back to Paul. Paul named a lot of people in chapter 16. Thanked a lot of people for their work. Thanked a lot of people for all their efforts. For all their encouragement. For all their prayers. But this one woman, he just thanked her for being a mom to him. Oh, how great the reward will be for this unnamed woman for caring for the Apostle Paul the way she did. Ladies, you never know who's going to come into this church. You never know what a little kid is going to grow up to be one day. You never know what a rambunctious little boy named Vincent running around playing soccer might turn out to be Pastor Vincent one day. You never know who you, ladies, are mom to. You can be a mother to someone at church. You can be a mother to a complete stranger at Walmart. Or a mother to your own children. If Jesus' mother was important to him, how much should our mothers and other mothers be important to us? Thank you, Mom. You see, when my mother died, began this new life that I live now. A little piece of me died that day when my mother went to heaven. A piece that needed to die. A piece called pride. When my mother died, pride died. It's been dying ever since, but the huge chunk of pride in my life died the day my mother went home. I remember the day before seeing her, and I wish I could somehow get into a 1984 DeLorean and go back in time to before my mother passed and hug her again, and hold her, kiss her on the cheek, and thank her for all her prayers for me. And when she died, I knew that I had an obligation to my mom to be who she knew that I was supposed to be. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know whether your mama's still alive or whether she's with Jesus. But you can thank your mother even if she's with Jesus. He'll relay the message. Not only does he intercede to the Father for us, but I sincerely believe after I see Jesus in heaven, that He's going to smile. He's going to say, "Hey, Kevin, here's your mom. And I will say, thank you, Jesus, for my mother." Let's pray.